morning. I think we restart with our next talk by Romolo Bolatto. I will give you a little warning after 10 minutes, but we have some time for questions as well.
Great. Thank you.
All yours.
Thank you. Good morning. Thank you very much for being here today. I'm Romolo Lolato, Wheat Extension Specialist with Kansas State University. And before I start, I'd like to acknowledge my co-author, Jeff Edwards, with Oklahoma State University. So, meteorological limits to winter wheat productivity in the Southern Great Plains. For the sake of this study, the Southern Great Plains was defined as the region encompassing Kansas, Oklahoma, and Texas, which together, these three states plant about 8 million hectares of winter wheat every year, for a total of 30% of the U.S. wheat production, so it's pretty important within the U.S. wheat production system. However, despite its importance, wheat yields in the last 30 years have been nearly stagnant when we look at the three states combined. And when we look into Oklahoma only, the situation is even worse, and the yields have been really stagnant for these last 30 years. So some previous research has shown or has established that some possible reasons for this yield stagnation are the lack of crop rotation, poor soil quality, maybe with erosion limitations, dual purpose wheat production, which is very common in the region, low soil pH, and also the weather variability and how it impacts wheat yields. So in this study, my focus was in this last factor, weather variability and its impact on wheat yields. So within this study, my objectives were to find your special patterns in meteorological variables associated with yields, also to determine what is the long-term water-limited wheat yield in the region using a simulation analysis, to identify weather factors that can explain this special and the temporal variability in winter wheat yield potential, and finally to define water productivity and transpiration efficiency in these systems when wheat is grown under non-limiting conditions. So in order to do this study, the crop simulation model used was a simple simulation model which was developed by Tim Soltani and Thomas Sinclair. It's a mechanistically based crop simulation model that can have all these parameters estimated with field measurements. That's why I chose this crop model. And in order to develop these parameters, in a parallel work that has been recently published, developed a broad data set of winter wheat grown under non-limiting conditions. Here are just a few of the examples of type of data that was collected. Leaf area index, above ground biomass throughout the growing season, canopy cover, and also plant available water in the profile, as well as phenological stages. So this data set has been recently published and is available, so it's a good data set for modelers out there that can best be grown under non-limiting conditions in the Southern Great Plains. And wheat yields in this data set ranged from 3.5 to 7.1 meg runs per hectare. After calibrating the model with these 11 site years, this model was validated for a total of 37 studies where the yield ranges from about 1.7 meg runs per hectare up to 7.1 meg runs per hectare. So a wide range in grain yields there for model validation. Calibration and validation of the model was followed by a long-term simulation for 37 locations within the Southern Great Plains. We can see that as far as longitude goes and latitude goes, there was a wide range in both those variables. The simulations were performed for about 30 years for each location. Weather data came from the Kansas Mesonet, from the Oklahoma Mesonet, or was from NOAA, coupled with solar radiation from NASA power, depending on each station there. Years with late spring freeze were excluded because the model doesn't explicitly simulate spring freeze. Soil data for each one of these stations was collected using the Webb Soil Survey for approximately 40,000 hectares surrounding each one of these stations. And plant available water at sowing, which is an important parameter in crop simulation models, was estimated using a parallel work that is currently under review, so using empirical models. From now on, whenever I talk about subregions within the Southern Great Plains, when I'm referring to the western subregion, you'll see a red color, yellow color for a west central subregion of the Southern Great Plains, green color for the east central, and blue for the eastern part of the Southern Great Plains. Whenever I was looking at geospatial gradients of the meteorological variables and how they were related to grain yields, the approach followed by ecological approach suggested by Grassini in 2009 and also Van Wart in 2013, the weather variables that we were interested in were cumulative solar radiation in the growing season, precipitation and reference CD, and also daily maximum, mean, and minimum temperatures. And each one of these weather variables were analyzed looking at the entire crop cycle from planting to maturity, the pre-anthesis interval, the jointing to anthesis interval, and also the post-anthesis interval. And then each one of these weather variables were related back to grain yield, either using Pearson's correlation coefficient or a Ford stepwise mode for regression analysis. So with that, some of the results here, what you're looking at is the simulated dates for certain phenological events. What you see in red is calibration, and the remaining points are validation. So most of the simulated dates were within 5% of the actual measure dates. When you look at grain yields, most of the values were within 20% of our measured grain yields, with a few exceptions here. And looking back at these data sets where the model overestimated grain yields, we had freeze events on these exact points here. So that's why I had to go back in the data set and remove all the freeze here, so they were not accounted for in the final data set. Going into some of the geospatial gradients in meteorological variables during the growing season, I'm showing just the example from sowing to physiological maturity here. Each one of those dots is an average for the 30-year simulation. So solar radiation, or cumulative solar radiation, which are the yellow squares, had really no trends as well as far as affected by latitude, but they decreased as we moved west to east, so as affected by longitude. There was a longitudinal trend in solar radiation decreasing from west to east. Looking at mean temperature during the growing season, there was a strong latitudinal trend, meaning that locations in the north part of that Southern Great Plains had cooler mean temperatures than locations in the south, but really was not affected by longitude. So there was no effect of longitude and mean growing season temperatures. The amplitude in temperatures was strong from west to east, but the mean temperature of the growing season, there was really no trend. Looking at precipitation and reference ET, there was really no trend as affected by latitude. However, you can see very strong trends as affected by longitude. And as we move from west to east, the blue dots, which are precipitation, cumulative precipitation during the growing season, increase, and there is a decrease in the reference evapotranspiration. So you can see that there is a huge water deficit in the west, and as we move east, really that water deficit decreases. Moving on to the actual simulated yields, and again, each one of these points is a 30-year mean. There was no latitudinal gradient in grain yields, but there was a strong longitudinal gradient in grain yields, increasing from west from until about 98 degrees of longitude, and then plateauing out. And then, not only the grain yields were lower in the west, but also more variable. And again, this is water-limited grain yields, not under irrigation. So here is the coefficient of variation, or the yield variability index, and you can see that it decreases from west to east. So again, lower yields in the west, water-limited yields in the west, and highly variable yields in the west as well. Looking into the meteorological variables and how they were affecting grain yields, or here we have the Pearson correlation coefficient, and in this very first column, what we have is for the whole Southern Great Plains, and I just want to call your attention for a few variables here, like precipitation during the growing season, which was strongly correlated with grain yields. Cumulative radiation during anthesis to physiological maturity interval was also correlated with grain yields. There was a negative effect of maximum temperatures during that interval from anthesis to physiological maturity. And also plant available water at sowing was somewhat correlated to grain yields. When we break this into the different sub-regions, going from west to east, we saw a decrease in importance of precipitation as correlated to grain yields. and we see an increase in the importance of solar radiation during the antithesis to physiological maturity interval, affecting grain yields going from west to east. Quantifying these using a forward stepwise multiple regression analysis, and this is the result for the whole southern Great Plains, about 50% of that variability in some squares was explained by precipitation during the growing season. About 30% of that variability in grain yields were explained by the solar radiation during antithesis physiological maturity interval, and about 13% was explained during the temperatures during antithesis to physiological maturity interval as well. So mainly we're seeing that there's a negative effect of temperatures, positive effect of both solar radiation and precipitation during those times within the growing season. Breaking this down into the different regions within the southern Great Plains, and again going from west to east, we see that on west, about over 80% offering yields were explained by total water supply in the growing season. Precipitation had a decrease as we go west to east, a decrease in importance in the expense of an increase in importance of solar radiation during the antithesis physiological maturity interval. In a way that in the east, most of the variability in grain yields were explained by that solar radiation during antithesis physiological maturity interval. Finally, looking at water productivity and transpiration efficiency. Water productivity here is the slope of the linear relationship between seasonal water supply and grain yields. The resulting was 19.1 kilograms per hectare per millimeter, whereas our transpiration efficiency, which is not accounting the water losses in the growing season, had a slope of 24.2 kilograms per hectare per millimeter. These values align well with some of the literature published for other regions of the world, like Australia, some previous work done in Oklahoma as well. With that, some conclusions from this study, that our long-term yield potential for the whole region averaged 6 megagrams per hectare, an increase from about 3.5 megagrams per hectare in the west to about 7 in east, central, and east regions. There's a great interannual variability in water limited yield in the west, especially when compared to the east region. Water supply accounted for about 82% of that yield variability in the west, whereas solar radiation during antithesis to physiological maturity accounted for about 87% of that variability in the east. Temperatures negatively affected grain yields when they were high, when high temperatures during the antithesis to physiological maturity interval. And finally, that these water productivity and transpiration efficiency values, they align well with literature, and they can be used, these boundary functionalities can be used to, as goals you shoot for in, when it comes to water productivity and transpiration efficiency. That, I appreciate your attention, and I would like to open for questions if we have time.
Thank you. Thanks, Romulo. Any questions for Romulo? Romulo?
Romulo, yes.
Questions? We have some time for questions. Hang on, let's we have a bit of time.
All right, we have a quiet audience.
Did you, maybe I have a question, did you look at sort of long-term weather data and try to see how climate viability plays a role in that? I thought you saw a bit of viability there, but did you had long-term weather data series to sort of simulate yield at the different locations as well?
So the yield was simulated at those 37 locations using the last 30 years. And I looked at the interannual variability in grain yields, but I did not look at trends to see if that variability has been increasing or not.
Yeah.
So if that was the question, I did not look at those trends.
So there's no trends in there. Or you might not know yet.
Well, the data is all there, so it's probably good to take a look at it, but I have not looked at that.
Do you have any plans to look forward as well to see what's happening in the future, like sort of looking at climate change scenarios for your region?
So we're starting a work looking at some drought traits and using simulation models to assess some different drought traits in the Southern Great Plains. And one idea is to look at increased temperatures as well, using the historical data, but increased especially night temperatures, and see if these drought rates, if they hold under increased temperatures as well.
Okay.
There's a question over there.
Emily? Could you show some trends on yield as a function of latitude and longitude? Have you looked at the same trends fall beyond your area of study, like other states like Arkansas or New Mexico or Texas?
Well, that's a good question. We have not looked at that yet. I would be interested in looking at data, at least from Colorado, which where wheat is very important as well, and maybe New Mexico, possibly expanding to Nebraska. But as of now, we looked at these three states and haven't really expanded these beyond.
Great. Thanks, Homo.
Thank you.
Thank you.